Good morning and welcome, welcome, welcome. It is time now for our community connection right here on K1. The one you trust and is brought to you by Tallgrass Motors and Arnold Moore Niekamp Funeral Home and powered on Facebook Live by Arvest Bank. And we have Daryl Fincher in the house. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing awesomely. Good morning, Tom. What a great morning it is.
It is. We've got Election Day tomorrow, and you're the incumbent, District 11, a state rep. And you've been out doing what you do during COVID, which is try to make contact, but from a safe distance, I guess.
Oh, yes. And, you know, I've been working on getting my message out. We're going to move Oklahoma forward because people want to hear what you're going to do for them. So I've been going around. Many of them have come up with door hangers on there where I've dropped by and put on a door hanger. I invite people to call me, 918-328-2030.
He answers the phone.
I answer the phone. I actually answer the phone. It's like, I've had people call me and say, "Now I want to talk to that representative." It's like, you got him.
Right here.
Right here. That's exactly right. But, you know, one of the things is when people call, you know, it sounds like I'm talking to my district for so many people because their first question is, "Are you pro-life?" Why, yes, I am, and I've got the votes to prove it. You know, are you pro-Second Amendment? Why, yes, I am, and I've got the votes to prove it. Because that explains, that is really where our district's values are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I vote the values when we're doing that. I like those values, so I vote those values, and they're the district values because that's what a representative does, is represent the district values. They often ask what else we're working on. So I talk about education, you know, how I'm working on education, the economy, and reform. But during this crisis that we're having with COVID, one of the other challenges is, as a representative, how do I help people? And so people have been calling my office. We've been working with them to get them through the challenges of COVID and with applying for the unemployment insurance that we have. So that's helping us move forward. But, you know, with the values, I think one of the things we talk about is that today values really are not enough. And I've talked to people about my experience. You know, I'm an Oklahoman. You know, my grandfathers, neither of them had a college education. But my parents met in Drumrite, Oklahoma. I got deep roots in the state. But I also have worldwide experience in industry education and public service. So with these unknown problems, these challenges we're going to have, I've got the experience to actually understand those and move forward with them.
Very good. Now, you're an educator. You have a doctorate.
Yes, I do. I have a doctorate in education. Got that from Pepperdine University, fine Christian university in California. It's a great place to go. They really helped me focus on what it means to lead and for the leadership that we have within education. So, yes, I've got that. I'm also a certified Oklahoma teacher. You know, many people don't realize that I actually at one point in my past worked for the State Department of Education here. And when we talk about virtual schooling, I'm the guy who actually pulled the statewide virtual charter school board together for its first meetings because that was kind of my job then. So I've got a deep background in virtual schooling, which
we're a lot of people got a dose of that this spring.
Yes, they did. They got a dose of that. And one of the challenges we run into, of course, is helping them move forward.
Yes.
We've got great organizations working on the virtual schooling. But this is something we're going to be looking back at in the future, is how we actually make it better for people.
And, of course, you know, you've been in business with the oil fields and as an engineer, you've been all over the world. You've actually come up with a couple of things that are still doing the job today, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah. One of the exciting things is I graduated from Oklahoma State. We got married in college. Don't necessarily recommend it. But,
oh, boy.
You know, but we met when we were freshmen. She was 17. I was 18. Took me just a couple of months to propose, and we're still together all these many years.
And you finished school.
And we finished school.
Yeah.
And picked up a few more degrees on the way for both of us. But, you know, started right here in Woodward, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Working for Schlumberger in their downhole, moved all over the U.S. Our kids, you can tell they were born in the oil field. One's born here in Woodward. The other up in Evanston, Wyoming, where we have a lot of other oil production. But, yeah, I worked on something called the optical fluid analyzer over there in Japan, where we were commercializing that using information developed by Schlumberger at the research centers. And that basic technology is still in use today. You know, they've moved on the generations of the tools. But what we did was the first in the world. First time anybody had ever seen anything like that for downhole use.
Very good. Now, as we take a look at some of the things that you've been busy with your voting record, what have you, you've represented everything from foods to education to firearms and birth.
Free speech. Yeah. You know, I'm a co-author of the Free Speech on Campus bill because we wanted to make sure that people had full ability to exercise their First Amendment rights on campus. So co-authored that one, signed on to the Anti-Red Flag Act. Got to get those antis in there to make sure that people could exercise their First Amendment rights. Also did something with working on virtually everywhere, trying to grow our economy by even if people don't want to, companies are hesitant about relocating here, but we have expertise of 5 or 6 people here. How can those people stay in their homes, in their hometowns, and serve that company? Because, you know, it's like exporting our labor because all the money still comes here in Oklahoma. And that's part of how we're going to grow and revive the economy as we move forward with that. By the way, you mentioned the number of votes. I was going back and counting. I had the opportunity to vote on over 1,200 bills in the 57th legislature. 1,200!
That's a lot.
It is, especially when you read them like I do. You know, some of them are simple to read. You go in, they've changed one word. Some of them, the new laws, those are complex. Those can take me quite a while. But I read the bills. I understand the bills. If anybody ever asks why I voted on a bill, I keep notes on the bills that I vote on. And I'm always happy if a constituent calls me to discuss how I voted on a bill. If they call me with, to advocate one way or the other before the bill comes out, or before it's up for a vote, I'm happy to discuss which way I'm leading. But as I tell people, things happen on the floor. There can be amendments, there can be changes. It may turn out that as we dig into the bill, it's not quite what it seemed. I analyze bills. And so I'm happy to discuss how those analyses happen.
We're talking with Daryl Fincher. He's the incumbent, District 11, and seeking your vote tomorrow with the primary election. Of course, we've got early voting, I guess, if you want to call it that. In-person absentee is what somebody called it. How do you do that?
That is technically what it's called, in-person absentee, because you're absent on the actual day of the vote. But
you vote in person beforehand.
You know, and while we sometimes loosely refer to it as, you know, people who use the old mail-in ballots as mail-in, that's actually a form of absentee voting because we verify your identity. By the way, a shout-out to all of you out there who went out and got notaries. You found out how to become a notary so that you could go notarize the ballots for people who needed it. Of course, right now, people who needed the could also just send and copy their ID, which is because of the emergency that we have right now.
So what I've seen is our UPS guy down the road here. He's got a notary. Busy with that stuff. He's been doing that other elections. So, this is quite interesting. Now, we've got you're not doing a watch party, are you, tomorrow?
Well, we're doing a
kind of a virtual thing.
We're going to be doing a virtual one for close friends and campaign workers. You know, we're concerned about security, as you've heard on the platforms we're using.
Sure.
So we're keeping that very contained. One of the challenges we've run is people know I do analysis. I've been tracking the cases.
Yes.
And the uptick in Oklahoma in the COVID-19, not only infections, but the hospitalization rates. Mm-hmm. And I do a 7-day running average. I don't have my chart here, otherwise I'd show it on the camera.
Yeah.
You can look at it on Facebook Live.
There you go.
Has started spiking. I think it's, even though I've been very careful when I've been out, and that's why I didn't knock doors, we don't want to get a bunch of people together in a room as it's starting to rise. And so, yes, we're going to do that virtually.
Okay, very good. Question 802, how are you going to come down on that?
Wow, 802. So, just really briefly, for those who don't know, 802 talks about Medicaid expansion. And, you know, people should be able to get medical care, and we've got to solve that problem, especially for people who are working, which is what we're talking about in almost all cases, but they're not earning enough to be able to get insurance and to get regular health care, which is something that we need to figure out how to solve here in the state, and we actually had a plan. But 802 basically takes that and requires us to do the Affordable Care Act in the Constitution. And so most people do not realize that this is a constitutional question. And if we vote and we approve that, what happens on this is we're now tied to federal lawmakers and to the whims of lawmakers up in Washington. Think about this, 435 people in the House of Representatives, 100 in the Senate and the President. We get to vote for 7.5 of those. Half vote for a president because everybody else votes for it. And we have 5 representatives in Oklahoma and 2 senators. So we get like 7.5 out of 536 people. Do we really want to do that? You know, so that's, I ended up voting against it because I just don't believe something like that should be in the Constitution.
I had someone ask me this today, and I didn't have an answer for it because still kind of new to this state. How did this question get on our ballot anyway?
Initiative petition. And this is the great thing about Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
Anybody can get together and decide they want to change the Constitution.
Sure.
Or they can also do it as a statute. Medical marijuana was an initiative statute. And so it's in statute. We can modify it as we see how we need to change it. Okay. The Constitution requires a vote of the people. Requires a much higher percentage of people to approve a to get the petition takes 15% of the people who voted as opposed to just 8% in the last general election for governor. And so they managed to get it on the ballot as a constitutional amendment. But that's how it gets on. The legislature can also use joint resolutions to propose constitutional amendments, but people still have to vote on them.
Okay. And that answers that. So we vote on a lot of things here as we the people in Oklahoma, as I am learning as I
we do.
Continue my citizenship here.
We do, and I got to tell you, the Constitution, 100,000 words in Oklahoma. We've only been around since 1907. U.S. Constitution, a little over 7,000 words, including all amendments, and that's been around for over 200 years.
Holy cats.
We wanted things to be perfect. Turns out you can't make things perfect up front.
No, you can't. All right. So once again, Darrell, folks want to know more about you that they, you know, if they haven't already. Where can they go online to read about?
They can go to ventureforhouse.org. They can also go to, doesn't matter if you use a 4, F-O-R, number 4. They can also go to Facebook where it's just look for Venture for House in the search bar, and we will pop right up in there. And I encourage people to go there. I've linked like the 2 forums that we did, and you moderated. I thought you did a great job of moderating on that.
Oh, thank you.
And, you know, I've put up some other information for people to read. I encourage them to go there, and, of course, they can call me, 918-328-2030, and I answer my phone. If I don't answer my phone, leave a message. I will call you back.
Well, Darrell Fincher, thank you very much for being with us here on Community Connection.
Okay. Well, thank you. Yes.
Closing statement, young man.
Closing statements. Let me pick it up and read it. No. Yeah. What I'm going to ask people is when you go out and vote, choose who you think is going to be best for moving Oklahoma forward in the future. And also be kind to your poll workers. But I do ask you, please vote for me, Darrell Fincher, like my other brother, Darrell. Darrell Fincher, tomorrow, June 30th.
All right, Darrell, thank you very much for being with us here on Community Connection right here on K.